The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early, when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." The Gospel of the Lord. My friends, before we understand science, it is natural to believe that God created the universe. But now science provides a more convincing explanation. We would know everything that God would know if there was a God, which there isn't. Religion believes in miracles, but these aren't compatible with science. What an awful way to begin a homily at an Easter celebration telling you there is no God and that we're all among the most foolish of people being here. We should all just go home and enjoy ourselves for the night. Those were obviously not my words. They were the words of astrophysicist Stephen Hawking, who died a number of years ago and died an atheist, believing that there was no God. Stephen Hawking, for all of his brilliance, indeed, for all of his impact on the scientific and astronomical community, still could not admit that there was some being outside the world of science. There was some force, some intelligence beyond science, beyond the material world. And so Stephen Hawking, as some scientists, but not all of them, believe that everything can be proven by science, and if it cannot be proven now, it eventually will be proven. And that belief in God is simply a naive belief until we can figure it out with scientific law and theory. One of the ways to prove anything in science, of course, is to have measurable, verifiable information. You need concrete data. You need information, you need something tangible in order to prove your theory or your hypothesis. We benefit a great deal from science. We need science in order to study the creation of the Creator and the laws that have been established since the beginning of creation. My friends, we come together this evening and certainly will continue tomorrow morning, Easter Sunday morning, and through the next 50 days of the Easter celebration, we'll be proclaiming not science, but we'll be proclaiming a great mystery that cannot be explained scientifically, and yet a mystery that is the very foundation, the rock foundation of our Christian faith, that Jesus of Nazareth, who walked this earth 2,000 years ago, this impressive, charismatic rabbi that appeared in one way out of nowhere suddenly at approximately the age of only 30 years old when he came upon the scene in a public manner, that this rabbi who could work miracles, who can impress people with his wisdom and his kindness and compassion and generosity, only to die a horrible death upon a cross, tortured by the Romans, who were experts in putting people to death. Romans never made a mistake when they tortured or intended to execute somebody. And that this rabbi named Jesus from Nazareth was buried in a tomb and proclaimed 3 days later to have appeared to his followers, who we call the apostles, in the upper room. And we heard indeed in the gospel this evening how Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb intending to anoint this corpse, this beloved rabbi of theirs, and they found the tomb empty and a young man, an angel, in there telling them, "He's not here. He's alive again." That's not science. That's faith. There's no science that proves that. It's beyond those laws and tangible measurements. That's what brings us here today. Last year at this time, on Easter Sunday morning, I woke up. It was a beautiful day like today, beautiful springtime day. I woke up on that Easter Sunday morning, and I walked across an empty parking lot, completely empty, not a soul anywhere on Easter Sunday morning. And I walked into this beautiful church, empty, on Easter Sunday morning, and I sat about right there in the pews. And I looked at the Lord, and I said, "What are you doing?" What is this about? What is this about? At that time, we had only been early in this pandemic journey. We didn't really know what we were dealing with. Scientists were trying to figure it out in their brilliance, of course, and trying to come up with a reason, a solution, as the medical personnel continued to do. And I sat there for a while, almost in tears, and I said, "Lord, you can't be happy with this. You didn't die for an empty church." And then the thought came to me, and it felt this way for a moment. You're sitting in an empty tomb. You're sitting in an empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning. And I thought, what better place to be than in an empty tomb on Easter Sunday morning? Friends, we all sit in an empty tomb at this time, and like the women, maybe we wonder, like I and ourselves a year ago on Easter, wondered, "Lord, what is this about?" And so indeed, they ask that question, and we do today in face of this Easter mystery. What is this about? What does it mean that the Lord Jesus has risen and is alive again? He's not just a rabbi from Nazareth. He's not just some ancient teacher or philosopher speaking from the mountaintop. This Jesus never wrote a book. We have no written word of Jesus. We have his words written by others, but not by himself. What our Lord was writing on the ground when the woman was caught in adultery, we don't really know, all kinds of speculation. Other than that, Jesus didn't leave any personal poetry or pithy one-liners or things such as that, because the power of the resurrection changed everything, and everyone was so deeply touched by this event. Something happened on that early Sunday morning when, sitting in that empty tomb, or walking into it later, Peter and John, when peering into that empty tomb, even they didn't know immediately the answer, but when Christ came to them, they were indeed wowed by that moment. I was thinking earlier how many Easters we have celebrated over the years. And everybody wants the preacher, the minister, the priest to come up with some incredible homily that's going to move hearts. We want to be wowed on Easter Sunday. And I thought, it's not about the preacher wowing you. It's about Christ wowing us, about us being amazed and us being touched deep in our hearts and be convicted by the truth of who Christ is, who he was then, who he is now, and who he will be for all time and eternity, the living Lord and Savior. That's what should impress us, the music, the environment, the preaching. The ministry is all important, but what really needs to touch our hearts is that deep conviction that only Christ can bring us. As he appeared to the apostles, he continues to appear to us, and as he sent the apostles, he sends us. Our life, our faith in Christ, once we are convicted of that great truth, and we know that faith changes lives, that faith changes lives. It turns an empty tomb into a living presence. It turns hard hearts into soft flesh-loving hearts and compassion. It raises the dead, puts light in darkness. It gives hope in the time of despair. That's the truth that we proclaim, and that's what we should be impressed by, and who should impress us on this Easter Sunday celebration. In the church, where that power of the risen Christ continues, in the sacramental life of the church, anointing, giving life, washing away sins, forgiving sins, uniting in marriage, sending in holy orders, confirming with the Spirit in confirmation, feeding us with his own body and blood. Christ is still risen. He's even more alive now than he was when he first walked out of that empty tomb, because his Spirit permeates the church. Let's bring that good news. Let's, as we ponder sitting in an empty tomb, are we looking at the ground or are we looking out the door, wanting to follow the one who is risen? Let's do so at this Easter season indeed. And so we rejoice this evening in the birth of our new members in just a few moments now.